Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín, allá en Cancún, Quintana Roo, México.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, there in Cancún, Quintana Roo, Mexico, in the congregation that the Reverend Angel Morin pastors, all the ministers and brothers and sisters there that are gathered with you. May God continue to bless you greatly and continue to use you greatly in His work in this end time. And I'm still very happy and very glad to have seen you personally and give you a hug. And I feel very joyful, very happy. I still feel the joy of that encounter that I had with you over there, which I treasure, because those were moments that for years I longed for, and God fulfilled it. So, therefore, I hope that there will be many more hugs like that, Miguel. May God bless you greatly, and may He keep you healthy and strong until the transformation. The same for everyone who are here present, and for everyone who is through the satellite Amazonas or the satellite Eutelsat 8 and in different places. It is truly a great blessing and privilege to be able to be here with you again in Puerto Rico, and to bring you many greetings from the brethren there in Mexico, who love you with divine love. And you saw everything that was taking place there in these days, which was of a great blessing for the entire Church of the Lord. And as our brother Miguel told us, we will then be there on July 28th, there in Villahermosa, where you are all invited to be there, ministers and their congregations, those who can be there, you can go, and thus have fellowship around the Word of God, and to continue listening to everything that God gives us on that occasion. And God will continue to fulfill scriptures, fulfilling prophecies. This is the time for the fulfillment of everything that has not been fulfilled. This is the time for Him to fulfill them. He says that the seventh seal speaks for itself. Page 119, paragraph 1057. There he says, it speaks for itself, the third pull. In other words, everything that is being fulfilled, that will be the voice of God. See? The fulfillment is what speaks. For today, Sunday, June, Sunday, June 23rd of this year, 2024. We have the subject, the sweet smelling savor of a heavenly citizen, preached on July 11th, 2015, in Feviva, Valencia, Venezuela. He used the scripture of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14. where it tells us. Now, thanks be unto God, which always caused us to triumph in Christ, and make it manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. The sweet-smelling savor of a heavenly citizen. You may please be seated. In the book of Songs, on the second chapter, on verse 1, it says, I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood. To the right, he writes Revelation 10, 1-11. So is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And on the left he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and an arrow toward the cornerstone and also toward the ages. And there in between he writes Revelation 10, 1-11. 2:17 and 4:1. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. And there on the left, he draws a cornerstone. And he writes, love. Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples. For I am sick of love. His left hand, and above he writes, Elijah. His left hand is under my head. And his right hand doth embrace me. And above he writes, Moses. Notice the ministry of Moses and Elijah there. And he writes on the left there, Revelation 11, 3-9. 7:2-17, 17:14-15, 19:11-21, 10:1-11, 5:1-17. All of those scriptures are there. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hands of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. There on verse 7, after Jerusalem, he writes Revelation 14, 1-9, 7:2-17, and 11 3 to 9. He tells us in the message, the adoption of the children of God after 6 days, preached on July 17, 1994, in Mexico. He says, Christ also showed that his elect would be seeing Moses and Elijah. Not all of Christ's disciples saw that. Only those he took apart, and with them he went up to a high mountain. The rest stayed at the bottom. He only took Peter, James, and John, which represent the elect of the end time, which are called by Christ himself, and brought up to the top of the Mount Zion to see the coming of the Son of Man in his kingdom. On page 48 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 417, it tells us, the same voice that summoned John, come up, the same voice that said to John, come up, is the same voice thou summons the church someday. Amen. Summons the church. Also the same voice that summoned John to come up is the same voice that summons dead Lazarus out of the grave. Look on page 137, paragraph 1217. The time of the rapture will be the awakening of the dead and the get-togethering of the living, for with the living, for the rapture to take place. And there he writes, resurrection and get-together equals time of the rapture. That same voice of the archangel, Christ is the voice of the archangel. Voice of the archangel, see? Oh, that trumpet voice of Christ summons John to come up. The same voice summoned Lazarus. Did you notice at the grave of Lazarus, he spoke with a loud voice. That same voice said to John, come up here, and I'll show you some things that's fixing to happen. Now, notice on 111, paragraph 968, it says, and Lord, we believe that we'll go when he sounds the trumpet. We believe it, that the bride will go forth at that day. Eighth. He wrote that on top. Eighth. Eight TH. And we'll join with the Hebrew group. St. Peter and his group. He wrote there at the top. Matthew 27, 52-53. In other words, there in, and I will join with the Hebrew group. There on top he writes that. And together there'll be a wedding supper in glory. And above that paragraph, he writes, we will join with the Hebrew group. The great trumpet will sound, and rapture. And he also writes right underneath, the eighth day. All on the top. Now he continues to say here in paragraph 417, I'll show you some things that's fixing to happen. That same voice that shall sound when the dead in Christ shall rise for the trumpet. The trumpet. What is a trumpet? The voice of Christ. The same one sounded and summoned him up. He heard the voice like a trumpet sound and said, come up hither. There above that paragraph he writes, come up hither, Revelation 4:1. The rapture. Voice of the archangel equals Christ in his angel. The great trumpet, the voice of Christ. And to the right, he draws a cornerstone and he writes, come up. I'm talking a little bit like this. Excuse me. I took some cough medicine, and it seems that it caused me a bit of discomfort. But I'm taking it slow. Now notice. Our brother William continues to say here. Now notice. Before reaching that seventh day, when Christ went up with Peter, James, and John, we find that he had also asked his disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man is? In other words, before he took them apart to that high mountain there on Mount Transfiguration, he asked them that question. And notice, in this message, Revelation chapter 4, first part, which is in the Book of the Ages, unedited, so that you can see it there. Also, in the Book of the Ages, unedited, it's on page 511. There, and let us start seeing here, is paragraph 124. On page 24 of the booklet at the bottom, going on to 25, paragraph 124. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, here I am on paragraph 124. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here, which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Oh, think of it. Some standing here, some standing here, shall not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What a statement. How the critic likes to pick that up and just show how dumb he is, see? How he likes to get a hold of that. And it's come to pass, and they didn't know nothing about it, see? All right. After Peter's rock confession, which we know that his confession is three dots, he would build his church on this same rock. Not Peter, being a little stone, as the Roman Catholic tries to say it, but Peter's confession of the revelation, That's the church. God will reveal it. Not a confession of this man, because later he backslid. Not a confession of him being the Son of God, because they knew he was the Son of God. Peter just said it. But what it was the revelation that had been revealed from heaven that he was the Son of God, said, "Flesh and blood has never thought it to you, but my Father which is in heaven revealed it to you. And upon this rock, that rock confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There on paragraph 129 of the Book of the Ages, to the left, there he drew a cornerstone and the ages. And where it says, "The Son of Man coming in his kingdom," a line there and an arrow toward the cornerstone. And in the booklet, on paragraph where it says, "Oh, think of it," there at the top he writes, "The Son of Man comes to the throne, to the age of the bride, and to those who come up to the throne, to the message of the King." The Son of Man comes to the throne, to the age of the bride, and those who come up to the throne, to the message of the King. And on the next paragraph upward, he writes, "Peter and the Revelation." Now, he continues saying, let us continue on paragraph 127. Hope we don't run out of time too quick here now, that we can get right into this. And we want to see how that flows into the human being. It's a beautiful story right here, if we can just get to it. All right. Yes. The rock confession. What Peter was, he would build his church upon Peter's confession. He said, "Some that stand here shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now remember, he spoke some. That was more than one, wasn't it? Some would be many, more than one. But now look, all of his disciples were standing there, and he was asking each one of them, "What do you think about this? And what do you think about that?" But he said, "There is some of you standing here, some standing here." He underlines, "some standing here shall not taste of death until they have seen the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Oh my, what a statement. Think, 2,000 years ago, that was stated. And he writes, kingdom. Is God's word infallible? Every word that he says will come to pass? Now, if we want, turn over to then the 17th chapter of Matthew is the next. When he taken, a few days after that, he taken Peter, James, and John up into a mountain apart to be a witness. Peter, James, and John. And they seen the kingdom of God come in power. They seen the coming of the kingdom of God rehearsed. Amen. Oh, they were brought into view of watching the kingdom of God be rehearsed as it come. They issuing in of the millennium. They seen the rehearsal. And there he writes, between paragraph 127 and 128, he writes, "The coming of the kingdom of God." And on paragraph 130, there to the side, he draws a cornerstone in the ages, where he says, "Come in power an arrow toward the cornerstone. And he also writes the introduction. Under the pyramid, he writes the introduction. And in the booklet, there he writes the introduction, and below it, he writes the introduction of. And further down, he writes millennium equals seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. Now, he continues saying, remember that the Son of Man is always God manifested in a prophet. Every time we speak of the coming of the Son of Man, its fulfillment is God incarnate, manifested in a man. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ had that title of Son of Man, because he was a prophet. Now, as the Son of Man, he is the heir of all the earth, along with everything that the planet earth has. And when Christ asked, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? His disciples began to say to Jesus, some say that you are John the Baptist. That is, they thought it was John the Baptist who had resurrected. Others say that you are Elijah. Others say that you are Jeremiah, or other of the prophets that has resurrected. And Jesus asked, and you, who do you say the Son of Man is? Peter says to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, that is, you are the Anointed One, the Messiah. Christ, Anointed, and Messiah means the same thing. The Anointed One with the Spirit of God. The Anointed One with the angel of the covenant. You are the Christ. You are the Anointed One. You are the Messiah. On page 335 of the Book of the Seals, it tells us. Let us see here. On this place, where he tells us it says, notice Rebekah when the servant of Abraham, Eliezer, when he came to get Rebekah, he mounted her upon a camel, the very camel she watered, and she rode this camel to meet her unseen bridegroom. The very thing she watered was the thing that took her to the future home and husband. And it's the same thing today, see? The very thing that the church is watering, that is the seed of the word, it's the very word that becomes alive and carries us to our unseen bridegroom. See? See? And look how perfectly Isaac had left the home and was out in the field, away from his home, when Rebekah saw him. And the church meets Christ in the air, and then he takes her. And he writes, the other body. And then he takes her back into the home, father's home, where the mansions are prepared. Isaac took Rebekah the same way. And notice, it was love at first sight. To the right there, he writes, yesterday. Below that, he writes, the promised son today. And a cornerstone and the ages. Oh my. She just ran to meet him. And that's the way the church will meet Christ in the air. And he writes on top there, the age of the cornerstone. And that's the way the church will meet Christ in the air. and forever be with Him. And he also writes there, she goes up in the vindicated word. And the vindicated word for each age and for each dispensation is in the fulfillment of what he promised. And the word is always veiled. Wherever the word is, it will be veiled. And to go up to the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom, that word must be veiled, be quickened. And the word is what makes that people to go up. Now notice what our brother William continues to say. Christ, on one occasion, when he read the portion of Isaiah in chapter 61, we find that he said that that scripture was being fulfilled in him. Look, here Christ had identified himself to his disciples. In other words, he had made himself known to his disciples. Luke chapter 4 and verse 14 and on says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." On the Sabbath day, on which day? The seventh. And on the seventh day, look at the reading that he uses and how he identifies himself with that messianic promise. It was on the seventh day that he did it. Notice, and it was also that Saturday, seventh day after Shabbat. There, when that scripture was read, and notice, things are fulfilled in such a simple way. And it was 6 days later that he went up to Mount Transfiguration. Six after him telling the disciples that some of those standing there would not see or taste death until they saw the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That is, it is always on the seventh day. The day he went up to Mount Transfiguration doesn't exactly mean that it was the seventh day of the week. In other words, that it was Saturday, but it was 6 days after he spoke those words to his disciples. Then, on the seventh day, after he spoke those words, on the seventh day was when he went up to the mountain and was transfigured before them. Remember that Israel, notice in the book of quotation, Brother Branham tells us in one part here that Israel had seven Hebrew ages. Page 42, paragraph 343. It says, "Now notice also the days of Elijah, when they had rejected Elijah as prophet, that little thread, the ancient church age. One of these days I'll bring up and show you that Israel had seven church ages too, and typed exactly with these." There at the top he writes, Jesus. Let us, so you can see it exactly how it is, how he drew it. How he drew it on that part there, in which he places He places the pyramid to the left. I believe you already had that one, but so you can see it. There he places two pyramids with the bottom parts of the ages. And for example, on the left one, he writes Jesus on the cornerstone. And on the seventh one, he places third Elijah, John the Baptist. And on the pyramid on the right, with the ages, well, there he writes Christ. Because notice what we have been speaking about. Christ, Messiah, anointed one means the same thing. There he writes Christ. In other words, the anointed one. Who would he be? Well, the one of whom and in whom God would fulfill that promise. He will be the anointed one with the Spirit of God. And the fourth Elijah, William Marion Branham, that is at the seventh age. And he also writes, Israel had seven ages, because there in the time of Jesus, they were living in the age of the cornerstone, under the Hebrew people, which had seven ages, seven stages. And there was the cornerstone, Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, which the church bride would also have under a new dispensation, where at the end, that cornerstone would appear, where Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, would be manifested, because everything would be parallel. Now, he goes on saying, and now, here on the literal seventh day, that is on Saturday, now, he's going to identify himself as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the anointed one of God, he says. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Brother William says, notice, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me. That is a messianic promise. Had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Brother William says, Christ is testifying that the Spirit of God was in him, that the Spirit of God had anointed him. He is testifying that he is the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Notice, in the message, the Feast of the Trumpets tells us on page 32, on this book, of this booklet, that is this version, it says, page 30-34 says, Pentecost feast finishes at the period of the seventh trumpet, for the next is the coming of seventh seal, for the next is the mystery of the coming of Christ, and also the trumpet is sound for the Jews. Their sixth trumpet is sound, and when it does, it makes known to them the revealed Son of God, 1/2 hour of space. There he writes, half an hour. In other words, during that space of half an hour, where Revelation 8 shows us that when that seal was open, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. There is when he reveals himself. Remember, all trumpets sound on this sixth seal. the sixth seal finishes the mystery. Under the sixth seal, just before the seventh, is opened. There he writes, between the sixth and seventh seal, and between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Notice here in Leviticus 23:26, how in order is the scripture. After the long period of Pentecost, which Israel did reject back there, and he called the Gentile church out through this Pentecostal feast. How many understand what the Pentecostal feast is? It's the fruit of, first fruits of the harvest, the first fruits of the resurrection, the Pentecostal feast. Don't miss this, people. And you on tape, listen close. This has been the time of Pentecostal feast. The Jews had laid silent. They rejected it. Now they've got to be called back to the atonement. We know who the atonement was. And he writes, Christ. They didn't. And the trumpet sound after the Pentecostal Jubilee calls the Jews together. Can't you see how that trumpet of persecution under Hitler and them blasted? And the Jews was forced to come together to fulfill the scriptures. Now you got it? All that's got it, say amen. Good. All right. Notice, here in Leviticus 26 now, the order of the scriptures, after the long period of Pentecost, which ends in the calling out of the bride is called out by a servant, the rejected next to be known to Israel, the Feast of the Atonement. Notice, here is the same as in Leviticus, the 16th chapter. Now, when he ordered the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Atonement. But in this place, they are called, oh, how perfect. Get it, preachers? See, don't miss it, ministers. In this Feast of Pentecost, which is represented in Leviticus 23:26 or 23 and 24, is a feast of mourning, not a killing of a feast. The feast was killed. The atonement was killed, rather. The atonement was killed, Leviticus 16. It's exactly a parallel to it. Only in this place, it's called Israel to mourn for their sins. And he writes, for having killed Jesus. And he draws a Star of David. How perfect it is today. It's not the killing of it, which Moses symbolized by striking the rock the second time. It didn't work. Not a killing of a feast, but a mourning of rejecting the atonement. Oh my! This will be the trumpet, the feast, be rejected, then their Messiah made known. Notice how it was happening there, 2,000 years ago, where he was making himself known. But notice here now, when he makes himself known, then they will indeed receive him. And look. Notice they'll know their Messiah when they see him. He is coming in power this time, the one they looked for. He is coming in power for the Gentile bride, and the Jews are going to recognize him. And he writes, the Jews recognize the Messiah when he comes for the bride, because it is in the midst of the bride where they will recognize him. They will say, what is he doing over there? Look, he continues to say, and then the Bible says, we just got through preaching on it here about 6 months ago or more. The Bible says when they say, where did you get those wounds? How many remembers the message? Raise your hand. Sure you. See? Where did you get those wounds? He said, in the house of my friends. Remember me preaching on the time when Jacob has sent the children of Israel down there to get the stuff and the food and stuff, and how Joseph acted like he didn't know them. There he writes, Joseph. And how all these things went on. Then he made himself known. You remember? And they were so scared. They went to weeping. Same as Jacob's trouble. And here we find the Jews under persecution. Don't know where they stand now, but they're coming back. And when they do, see the atonement appear, and there he draws a Star of David. The Bible said when they see it, they said they would separate one home from another and weep 4 days like a family that lost their only son. Where did you get those wounds? And there he writes, the atonement. Now, notice how here Brother Branham gives us a great revelation. Because he tells us that when they see the atonement appear, when they see those ministries of Moses and Elijah, therefore, notice that that new mercy seat is where there will be mercy for them. That is why they see there that atonement. Because it is Christ himself. But they will say, but where did you get those wounds? It will be revealed to them. The one they rejected 2,000 years ago, their understanding will be open to them. And they will understand that the one whose death they asked for was the one they were waiting for. But now, notice, in his second coming, they receive him as lion. He said, in the house of my friends. See? Remember, the bride is already in heaven. Joseph's wife was in the palace. And he writes, Joseph. And Joseph dismissed everything from around him. And he made himself known to his brothers. You see? His wife and children and them was in the palace when he returned back to make himself known to the Jews. There is the atonement. There is your sound trumpet. There is where they say, oh, what is it? There is the atonement. Where is them wounds come from? There it is. In the house of my friends. Now, why didn't he reveal himself before? Because the church bride was not yet in the age of the cornerstone. He could not make himself known before. The church had to be at the top, in the palace, in the most holy place, in the age of the cornerstone, so then he can make himself known to the Hebrew people. Remember what Joseph's brothers said. Why they said, now we'll be killed, sure enough. We did that. We did that evil like that. He said, no, God did this to save life. You remember the story in Genesis? See? See? So did he do it this way, to save the life of the Gentiles, the bride. Said, I got them in the house of my friends. But don't be angry, see? Don't be afraid of yourself. They said, oh my, did we actually miss seeing him? Was that the atonement and we've missed it? Oh God. And they said, they just separate themselves and mourn for days. What is it? The atonement. Sadness. Then he writes, the atonement. This time, the coming of the making known atonement is not the regular atonement being killed, like in Leviticus 16. But Leviticus 23 is a mourning time of their sins. And their sins was, they rejected it. Their sins, he writes, their unbelief. Oh, don't you see where we are at? Don't you see why them trumpets means nothing to us? They all sounded under our sixth seal. You see now why the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me speak it? And the Heavenly Father knows, with this Bible before me, that's the truth. Didn't know it till yesterday, day before yesterday, in my room there, where he revealed it. Come to me and spoke to me. I come back and said, wife, I got it now. On the side he writes, wife equals the church. He just met me in there and told me, here it is, honey, see? See, there it is. See, perfectly just in harmony. Oh, people without him, get in quick. It might be the last opportunity you'll ever be able to have. You don't know what time he might come. He writes on the side, our sixth seal equals Moses and Elijah. The Feast of the Trumpets, the Bible says, they would separate themselves one from another and pray and weep, because like a person with their only child being lost. Look, I want to say one more thing. Closely now, don't miss this. How striking. From the seventh angels, messenger of the seventh seal, message in Revelation 10 was the seventh seal. This is an excerpt. I believe this is in the book of quotations. Around 130 or, let us see, 129, paragraph 1149, is this excerpt that I'm going to read now. I'm hearing the message. Look, I want to say one more thing. Closely now, don't miss this. How striking. From the seventh angels, messenger of the seventh seal, message in Revelation 10 was the seventh seal. And he writes Revelation 10 equals the seventh seal. To the seven trumpets, between those two times. Oh God, how can we say this to make the people see it? It's between that sixth trumpet and the sixth trumpet and the sixth trumpet and the sixth seal sound at the same time. And between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, there is a prophet to appear before the Gentiles to call the people back to the original Pentecostal doctrine. And the two witnesses of Revelation 11 appears to the Jews to send them to Jesus while the church is being taken up. See? Everything happens there in that interlace. All of them prophets. Amen. The word of the Lord cannot be broken. It won't be a denomination. He says, Elijah. In other words, in his fourth manifestation. Elijah and Moses and Elijah. It won't be a denomination. And he there on the side also writes, Moses and Elijah, while the bride is being taken up. Now, on page 44, let us see if it's 130 or 129, which also in this, yep, 129, paragraph 1150, notice it says, now, as soon as this church, the bride, is drawn together, she is taken up. And that mystery of the seventh seal, the mystery of going And the Jews is called by the mystery of the seventh trumpet, which is two prophets, Elijah and Moses. Here he writes, Moses and Elijah, the mystery of the seventh trumpet. And he writes, the bride is taken up in the mystery of the seventh seal. Who takes the church bride up to the age of the cornerstone? The seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. Our brother William continues to say here, he is telling them who were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And there is the Messiah telling them that it's Him, that He is the Anointed One, that He is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. Notice, it was what they were waiting for. The Messiah comes, the fulfillment of that promise, and He tells them with the Scriptures, which, notice, in His second coming, He says on page, let us see here, on page 59, paragraph 519, in Malachi the fourth chapter, in Revelation also the third chapter, tells us that He will be here in the last days. That same one that'll stand in the breach for the people with a little flock that God will give him. He'll come in the last days. God said so. He'll be a sign to this Gentile nation that her time is no more. And remember, when He appears on the scene, the time is at hand. Let's pray for God to send Him. The time is at hand. As soon as His ministry was finished, Messiah showed Himself. As soon as this Great One will come in the last days, will finish His ministry, the Messiah will show Himself. The same thing that happened 2,000 years ago is the same thing that God will be fulfilling through that instrument at this time, because everything is parallel. And back then, He was showing them through the Scriptures that He was the fulfillment of what they were waiting for. And when He makes Himself known, then notice, look at what it says. Brother William continues to say, he is telling them whom were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And there is the Messiah telling them that it is Him. He is the Anointed One. He is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. And what happened? If you read the rest of that passage, you will find that after a few minutes, they threw Him out of the synagogue and took Him to a cliff in the city to cast Him down over the city. Now notice in the Book of the Seals, on page 164, it says, there it says, notice, this rider is nothing but Satan's Superman. He's speaking about the pale horse rider, the incarnate devil. He's an educated genius. Now, I hope you got your ears open. They was trying one of his children out not long ago on a television cast to see if he wasn't smarter than the next man to run for president. Notice, one of the children, meaning one of the devil's children. See? But however, he's got a lot of wisdom, so has Satan. He tries to sell it. He sold it to Eve. He sold it to us. And he writes, USA. He sold it to us. We've been, and he writes, USA. We have been waiting a Superman. We got it. All right. The whole world is waiting a Superman. They're going to get it. Just wait till the church goes up and Satan is cast out. He'll incarnate. And there he writes, the church goes up and Satan comes down and incarnates himself. That's right. They want somebody who can really do the job. He'll do it. Educated. This is a Satan's Superman with education, with wisdom, with church theology of his own words, of his own making. And he rides his white denominational horse to deceive the people. And he will conquer every religion of the world, because they're all going into the confederation of the churches, and the World Confederation of Churches. And they already got their building built, and everything setting right in line. There ain't one thing left. Every denomination is stuck right into it, the Federation of Churches. And what's backing it? Rome. And the Pope is now crying, we're all one. Let's come together and walk together. And these people, even some of you full gospel people, have to deny your evangelical teaching to take a step as that. What have you done? So blind to that denominational thing. You've rejected truth, and truth was set before them, and they walk away from it and left it. And now they've been given over to a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned with it. That's exactly what it is. And the Antichrist takes it all. And the Bible said that he deceived all and double all upon the face of the earth, whose names were not written under those seals from the foundation of the world. Now, if the Bible said he did it, he did it. They say, well, I belong. There you are. Yep, that's just exactly. It's the same prostitutes institution. It's the same system that started in the beginning, which is Antichrist throughout. You'll hear from it, but it's the truth. I expect to. Amen. Now, notice, he'll conquer and almost has in his grip right now while he is still Antichrist before he becomes beast. You talk about cruel punishment. You just wait. Watch what them that's left here on earth will have to go through with. There will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, for the dragon Rome spurted water out of his mouth to make war with the remnant of the woman's seed that was left upon the earth after the bride had been selected and took out. Those reaping angels, notice, are the ones who make the separation, the segregation between right and wrong. The only one who knows who they are is the angel of the Lord. There won't be one more or one less. And the dragon made war with the remnant, didn't want to come in, and was hunted down. And the real church would go through that if it was possible. But you see, they are done under this blood by the grace of Christ and cannot go through any tribulation. That is, the church bride will not go through the tribulation. They have no tribulation period. The next thing for the church is rapture. Amen and amen, amen. Praise to God. Oh, how I love this. How we love that too. Those promises are ours. And there he writes, the bride, the church, the 144,000 Jews. Now remember that this third pool is for all the groups. Notice, our brother William continues to say here, and what happened? If you read the rest of that passage, you will find that after a few minutes, they threw him out of the synagogue and took him to a cliff in the city to cast him down over the city, because they could not believe that such a simple man, who was raised right there in Nazareth, and whom everyone knew him as the carpenter of Nazareth, they knew him as the son of Joseph and Mary, and his brothers were also there in that city of Nazareth, and they could not believe it. The priest that was there, nor the doctors of the law, nor the Hebrew people that was there. They could not believe that simple man, known by all, known by all of them as the young carpenter of Nazareth, was the Messiah, the anointed by the Spirit of God, that they were waiting for, because they were expecting a very important person, a very great person, but they were expecting a person who was great in appearance. Look in this same message, the Feast of the Trumpets, on page 35, it tells us, think of it, it's the end of time, folks, hallelujah, the great day of the Lord is at hand, gather yourselves together, Feast of the Messiah. There he writes, the day of the Lord, Feast of the Messiah. They reject him, and they'll find out that there is their Messiah. The Bible said them striking things like this would take place. In Revelation 11, call, their ministry will be the ministry of Moses and Elijah calling to Israel out of the Jewish traditions, just as the seventh angel's message called the bride out of the Pentecostal traditions. Remember, Moses and Elijah is to call Israel out of the old atonement of the lamb, and sheep and blood and goats, and sacrifice to the real living sacrifice to the Word. And the seventh angel's message, under the same trumpet, same everything exactly, the same seal, is to what? Call the people, the bride, out of the Pentecostal and world traditions to the genuine atonement, the Word. Christ impersonated in His Word here, made flesh among us. And there He writes, call them today to Moses and Elijah. Notice where they are going to look and see that atonement. To those ministries. Call them today to Moses and Elijah, God in flesh. The 144,000 are called out of the Jewish tradition. He wrote that there. And our brother William continues to say, but God's greatness comes in the simple veil of flesh that He uses to fulfill His promises of each age and each dispensation. And there was a simple veil of flesh, a young carpenter from Nazareth. Because every time that God is going to fulfill something great, He fulfills it. He reveals it in a simple way. And the greater it is even simpler. And that, notice, is the sweet-smelling savor of a heavenly citizen. We thank God that we have identified that instrument and that we have identified ourselves as those heavenly citizens, as those who would see the fulfillment of that promise. He said in a message that back then the Hebrew people rejected Him in His first coming. In His second coming, the Gentiles would then reject Him. But the Hebrew people would receive Him, see? The contrast. That writing is in one of the studies where He wrote to us there that at this end time, the Gentile world would not see His coming. But the bride would. She was indeed designed to receive her bridegroom, as Rebecca was. The sweet-smelling savor of a heavenly citizen. Let us stand. And thus, we live in this subject, the sweet-smelling savor of a heavenly citizen, where there are many important points in this message, where we will see what our brother William brought us there. And when we read here, all these messages, we rejoice because we are seeing everything that was spoken. We are seeing it becoming a reality. Everything that was spoken about how God would be working in a great tent cathedral, bringing us all that teaching. And today we can say, thank you, Lord, because I am seeing and hearing what you promised. That word did not fall to the ground. And once the resurrection takes place and we are transformed, when we see them, there is when the person will realize if he truly believed in the stage of the teaching, what preceded those events, or if he was simply an spectator. And a person who was rather snooping around, do you know how he will realize it? When he remains with his body as it is, without changing. And he will say, but notice, there is a way to knock at the door, or several ways. When it says there, they start knocking at the door, Lord, Lord, open to us. And also when they said to the wise, give us your oil. Go and get some for yourself. In other words, they will notice or realize that they did not obtain what God's elect had actually received. There is when they will realize who will stay and who will leave. The elect is so and so sure that he's leaving. Why? Because he's receiving what God promised. And he's believing it with all his heart. There is no doubt about what God's elect is believing. That is why he asked them, before taking them up, he asked them that very important question. Whom do you say the Son of Man is? In other words, he told them to be sincere and to say to Jesus and tell him who he was. Not to be following him because they were friends, because they knew him. Well, I am with you. No. Who do you say that I am? Let's see. He put them to the test. And for sure, some who were around there, wait, let me stay away so that he doesn't ask me, because I have many friends, and I don't want them to stop talking to me afterwards. That required sincerity. And today you are being sincere with God. And you have already answered God. And you have told him, yes, Lord, I know who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Anointed One, you are the Messiah, who you promised in the sacred scriptures. And today, you are being revealed in the midst of the people, and I believe the promise with all of my heart. Therefore, that faith is based on that scripture being fulfilled, being quickened. Therefore, by believing in the fulfillment of that word being fulfilled in the first coming of the Lord, what did the person obtain? The new birth. A theophanic body from the sixth dimension. Well, by you believing in the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord, you can be sure that you will be transformed. You will obtain that eternal and glorified body. because your faith is required to be based on the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. Otherwise, there is no transformation and rapture for the person. We must say things as they are and plainly, so that there is no doubt about what to base your faith on. Not on what this or that or this other person says, is on what God says through His Word. God said it through that revelation that Peter received back then. He received the revelation from above. Not Peter, he says there, as a human, because then it says that he denied him. No, but based on the revelation that he received from above. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That already sealed it. Under that faith, under that teaching that the church bride is receiving under the tent, is that each one of us will continue to increase that faith until we reach the perfect faith, the faith that there was never in the ages. Well, there is so much we could say about all of that, of which we have been speaking about and of which God will continue to speak to us to continue to increase our faith until we reach that stature of the perfect man, the sweet-smelling savor of a heavenly citizen. I don't know if we have a song here to thus prepare ourselves to hear this message that we have for today, the sweet-smelling savor of a heavenly citizen. If you have a hymn, we can sing it. And in this way, we prepare ourselves to hear this message and continue to grow our faith to soon be transformed. Number 130, Thanksgiving. You have given us a beautiful year, my good Lord, a beautiful time of your teaching and preparation. Thank you, Lord, for you have opened my understanding, and in the Anointed One I can see your full glory. Out of so many human beings on the earth, I am one of those who have seen your glory today. What Peter, James, and John saw back then in the vision, I am seeing it face to face today. Thank you, Lord. I thank you because you know I am not the same person I was yesterday. I am different, and I know that tomorrow I will be better. And with your help, I will be able to reach perfection. I thank you because the Anointed One is giving us the rapturing faith. And that word is filling some vessels. And I am one of those vessels. Oh, what a blessing. a beautiful year of revival and jubilee, the 50th year of the messenger, a sign from God, a new cycle that is wonderful and a blessing, a great year in which we await the transformation. I thank you, because you know I'm not the same person I was yesterday. I am different, and I know that tomorrow I will be better. And with your help, I will be able to reach perfection. I thank you, because the Anointed One has given us the rapturing faith, and that word is filling some vessels. And I am one of those vessels. What a blessing. I thank you, because you know I'm not the same person I was yesterday. I am different, and I know that tomorrow I will be better. And with your help, I will be able to reach perfection. And I thank you, because the Anointed One has given us the rapturing faith, and that word is filling some vessels. And I am one of those vessels. What a blessing. May He continue to fill these vessels. Because remember, we are vessels set aside for Him. The sweet smelling savor of a heavenly citizen. Let's leave with us right away our dear beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.